You know, maybe I'm the only one, but I have a difficult time finding the perfect greeting cards. You know, I go into the store, and maybe it's just the stores that I go into, but I go into the store, and there's a whole section of greeting cards. And depending on the situation, I'm trying to look for that perfect one. I'll tell you the ones that cause me the most anxiety: anniversary and Mother's Day. Because they both relate to my wife, right? And so I'm trying to find the perfect greeting card. Now, I could just go in there, go into the Mother's Day section or go into the anniversary section, and I can just pick one that looks nice and throw it into an envelope and give it to my wife. I could do that, but I can't let myself do that because I want to make sure that the message that the greeting card sends to my wife is exactly the message that I want to communicate. I want her to understand what I really and truly think about her. And sometimes it's hard finding a greeting card that matches exactly what I want to say. Finding greeting cards is not an easy task for me. But I'm willing to bet that finding greeting cards is not an easy task for many people. Because I have discovered that there are people out there making greeting cards for situations, such unique situations, that I never even thought I would need a greeting card for situations like that. Do you need a greeting card to help you break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend? I actually came across a website that had breakup cards. It's actually pretty fascinating. I mean, those cards right there, I read through some of them. They're not nice greeting cards. But there it is. Perfect message to break up with someone. Do you need a greeting card to let someone know that they need to start saving for child support? I found a greeting card like that. I'll tell you, the internet is an extraordinary. I should have started looking for greeting cards on the internet. But there it is, right there on the internet. You better start saving for child support. Talk about surprises, right? Imagine opening that card up in the mail. Now, here's the clincher. What about a greeting card for your mistress? Can you believe someone thought of that too? Like, there's holiday cards, like Christmas cards or birthday cards and stuff, just specifically for your mistress. It's extraordinary. My guess is that there were people out there looking for the perfect card to send the perfect message for all sorts of unique situations that somebody said, you know what, I can cash in on this because nobody else is doing it. Greeting cards, they're there. They're there to help us send a message to the person that we want to send a message to. Not all of us are poets. Not all of us are authors. So we can't always write the perfect message. And so we rely on greeting cards to write that perfect message for that perfect someone. Of course, what if God wanted to send us a greeting card? What if God wanted to send us a card with a perfect message? What do you think that message would be? What do you think God would put on that greeting card? Now, God may never actually send a real greeting card, but he has chosen a message that he wants everyone to understand and embrace. And we can read about that message in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Book of Luke, chapter 24, and we're going to start in verses 45, and we're going to go all the way to 49. Luke, chapter 24, 45 to 49. It says, "Then he," talking about Jesus, "opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day.'" Verse 47, "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." A couple days ago, we discovered that Jesus was sending us on a mission. We saw that just as the Father was sending the Son into this world for a specific task, Jesus is sending us into the world with a specific task. He's sending us on mission. And then yesterday, we saw that not only does Jesus send us on mission, but he sends us to all sorts of people. The idea of all nations encompasses all sorts of people groups. And so Jesus sends us on mission to all people. But not only that, Jesus sends us on mission to all people with a specific message. He has a message that he wants us to send to the world. In some ways, we are like the living, breathing greeting cards that God desires to send to all people in all places at all times with a very specific message. And right here in this passage, we discover exactly what that message is. And I want us to focus this morning on three specific words in this passage. The first one we're going to look at is preach. It's right there in verse 47. As a matter of fact, we're spending the rest of the time right here in verse 47. It says, "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." I'm using the New International Version. My version says preach. It's the word that the translators chose to use, preach. Some of your translations, depending on what it is, may use the word proclaim. And still other translations may use the word publish. Preach, proclaim, publish. You know, when you're doing your Bible studies and you're taking a look at different versions, comparing different versions, and you notice that different translations are using different words to translate the same Greek word, that should give you a hint sometimes that the word is so multifaceted that there isn't one single English word that will completely communicate the entire meaning of that word. And so the translators just kind of have to pick the one that they think is the best. And that's the case that we have here. That word preach, that word proclaim, that word publish, those are words that try to give us an idea of what was the original word used here. The original word was used the word caruso. And this Greek word has a very specific definition. It means to announce a message publicly and with conviction. So Jesus sends us into the world with a message. And that message needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be delivered publicly and with conviction. What does it mean to carry a message publicly? Well, we notice from the disciples that when they decided to take the message of Jesus seriously, and when they started to spread into the world, their primary method of communication was preaching. They would stand in front of a group of people, much like what I'm doing here with you today, and they would preach the message. They would communicate the message. They would stand in front and communicate. And we see it in the book of Acts. The disciples would go to the synagogue, and in the synagogue, stand before people and communicate the message. But it wasn't always in a synagogue setting or in a church setting. Sometimes they would go to the marketplace, and right there before people in the marketplace, they would begin to preach the word of God. That was the primary method in which the apostles went into all the world with a public intent. They wanted to make sure that as many people as possible were receiving the message. And so the apostles were fulfilling what Jesus was asking them to do. He says, this message will be preached. It will be proclaimed publicly. Of course, today, we have so many more tools at our disposal than just standing in front of people with a message. Yes, this is still a valid form of communicating the message of Jesus Christ. Preaching is still a powerful tool that God uses to help people understand this message. But we'd be foolish to think that it was the only way to communicate the message. As Adventists, we have taken advantage of just about every tool imaginable to communicate the message. In our early days, we used periodicals, right? We published periodicals that came out either weekly or monthly. And they circulated those periodicals. That wasn't a person standing in front of a group of people preaching, but it was still sending the message and proclaiming it publicly. And then, as our denomination grew, they started publishing books, right? They were using the methods of their time to reach people. Today, we see people in our denomination who are using radio and television ministries. They're using these methods to reach as many people because they're taking what Jesus said seriously. This message will be preached publicly. And they're using any form they can imagine. But of course, our time has shifted and evolved, and now we have to seriously look at things like the internet, creating websites and using social media, using every method available to us, because Jesus wants this message to go public. He wants every person in every place to be reached with this message. And if we're limiting ourselves to only one method, then we're limiting the spread, the impact, the reach that our message can have. We need to seriously look at every possible method we can, because Jesus says that he wants this message to go public. Caruso means to announce a message publicly, but not just publicly, but with conviction. With conviction. The real question is, do you believe the message? You see, I can be a messenger. As a matter of fact, I read recently, as I was preparing for this sermon, I came across a website that was discussing a brand new application that somebody was developing. And the reason that this person was developing this app was to meet a very real need. this person realized that texting and email, those are just not the best forms of communication. And so they wanted to create a form of communication that they felt gave the personal touch. But the person also realized that not everybody can go to the person they want to communicate with. You can't always be present with the person that you want to communicate with. So they developed an app where you type in the message that you want to communicate, and you actually type in how you want that message to be communicated. Do you want it to be angry? Do you want it to be happy? Do you want it to be sad? Do you want it to be excited? Right? You put it in that message, and then they send that message to someone who lives near the person that you want to send a message to. That person is an actor who then receives the message and goes on your behalf following your exact directions and communicates the message. It's actually really, it's an extraordinary idea. I'm not sure if it will catch on, but the idea is that a text or an emoji or even an email, it's just not enough. It doesn't give that personal touch. But here's the thing. A person can just follow my directions, and they may be a good actor, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they believe what they're saying, that they believe what they're communicating. They're just hired to tell someone something in a specific way. But Jesus says that he wants not only his message to go public, but he wants his message to be communicated with conviction. That means that you and I have to go into the world with this message, but we have to believe that message. Because if we don't believe it, why would somebody else believe it? And so Jesus says that this message will be preached. It will be preached publicly, and it will be preached with conviction. So we have a message. We have a message to preach. But the big question is, what is the content of that message? What is the message that Jesus wants us to communicate? I want us to take a look at another word. And that word is repentance. Again, in verse 47, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Repentance. The first part of the message that we are called to communicate to the world is a message of repentance. Repentance is an interesting word. And the full meaning of the word repent means to change your mind about something. So when we go into all the world with this message that Jesus wants us to take publicly and with conviction, the goal is ultimately to help someone change their mind about something. But what are they changing their mind about? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And it's actually repeated again in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. I'm sure you're familiar with the passage. It says, there is a way that appears to be right. Some versions say, there is a way that seems right to a man. But in the end, it leads to death. We've discovered this week, closer to the beginning of our time together, that this world has a problem. And the problem is sin. And sin has affected every part of our human existence. It has affected our spiritual lives. It has affected our financial lives. It has affected our social lives. It has affected our physical lives. Sin has literally affected every aspect of our lives. So it's no wonder then that those of us who are born in this world are born as sinners, as people who have a tendency towards doing the wrong thing. Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You see, all of us have this tendency towards evil, have this tendency towards sin. We are allured by it. We gravitate toward it, and we actually think it's the right way. We think that the path that we choose ourselves is the right path. But the Bible says that even though you think it's the right path, it is a path that leads to death. What we naturally choose, our default position, is to do the opposite of what God asks us to do. But Christ gives us a better option. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Bible says that Jesus is the way. The way to what? The way to the truth, the way to the life, the way to the Father. And so we have this idea in Scripture that there are two ways. There's the way that seems right to a man, but ultimately leads to death. And then there is the way of Jesus Christ that leads to the Father and eternal life. And so when we go into the world to preach a message of repentance, the message that we need to preach is that there is a way better than the way that we think is the way. Because all of us have a tendency towards evil. But we need to change our minds about those things which are bad for us so that we can turn to Jesus and all things that are good for us. When we repent, we discover that our ways are futile, that our ways are meaningless, that our ways lead to death. This is the message of repentance that Jesus wants the world to hear, that there is a better way, and that way is Jesus Christ. A message of repentance means that people will acknowledge the futility of the path that they are on, and they will be convinced to embrace the path of Jesus Christ. It is turning away from sin and towards righteousness. That's what it means to preach a message of repentance. But it's not just a message of repentance. It is also a message of forgiveness. Verse 47 again, "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." So people get convinced, right? You can convince someone that they're wrong and that there is a better way. So what? Forgiveness of sins is ultimately at the core of this Christian message, the message that Jesus wants people to understand. Yes, human beings have been on a path to death. Yes, human beings have done things that they should not have done. Yes, human beings stand guilty before God. But there is more than just condemnation. There is forgiveness. Scripture is clear. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. A sinner struggles with the propensity to sin. And they struggle with it their entire lives. And as a result, we've racked up quite a tab. The wages of sin is death, right? Our lives have racked up a tab of condemnation. But Jesus says, "I forgive you." Because Romans 6:23 doesn't just give us the bad news, it gives us the good news. The wages of sin, sure, it's death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is a gift. It is a gift that is manifested through forgiveness. Jesus forgives us of our sins. And we stand before God as if we have never sinned before. That's a gift. I can't earn it. I can't work toward it. I can't do anything to bring it about myself. It is a gift of God. And so that is the message that Jesus wants us to proclaim to the entire world. It is a message of repentance and forgiveness. It is a message about there being a better way and a God that loves you. Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. That's the message. Now, as good Adventists, we'll say, wait, but what about some of these other messages? What about the Sabbath? What about the state of the dead? What about the spirit of prophecy? What about the second coming? What about these other messages? I want to submit to you that all of those messages comprehended in their fullest sense leads us back to Jesus Christ. All of those messages fully understood will bring us back to repentance and forgiveness. Notice what Jesus said right here at the beginning in verse 46. This is back at Luke chapter 24. In verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written." Jesus is saying, this is the message of Scripture. Everything that you find in Scripture contains this message, that the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Everything that Scripture teaches comes back to Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was able to say to the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures because in them you think that you have eternal life, but these are they that testify about me. Jesus says, I am at the core and I am at the center of the Scriptures. And so that means that when we study the Sabbath, it should take us back to Jesus. When we study the state of the dead, it should take us back to Jesus. When we study the second coming, it should take us back to Jesus. When we study the spirit of prophecy, it should take us back to Jesus. All of the things that make us uniquely Adventist also make us uniquely Christian, because they point us back to Jesus. If understood correctly and preached correctly, Jesus says, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Not only are we sent, but we are sent to all nations, and we are sent with a specific message. And our job is to make sure that the method we use communicates the message as clearly as possible. You know, I've discovered in my almost 10 years of marriage that the best ways to keep your marriage healthy is clear and open communication. You need to be able to tell your spouse what you feel, what's on your mind. You need to be able to communicate with your wife exactly what you want to communicate, and vice versa. She should be able to do the same with you. I have found that that is the best way to keep your marriage healthy. I've also found that the worst way to hash out an argument with your wife is to use texting. I did that once, and it was the first and only time that I did that. Because as we're texting back and forth, we're missing so much of what it means to communicate. Because texting does not give you body language. Texting does not give you tone of voice. Texting removes from the communication process a huge portion of what it means to be human. And so I remember texting my wife, and we were texting back and forth, and everything that I texted was interpreted, taken in the wrong way. The message that I was trying to communicate was the wrong message. It was received incorrectly. And the reason was because the method that I chose to communicate it was the wrong method. We should have sat down in front of each other, face to face, and communicated that message. Jesus says that we have a message. But what's the point of having a message if we don't communicate it in the right way? Jesus says this is the way to communicate the message. It is a message of repentance, and it is a message of forgiveness. And this message needs to go into the whole world so that people will turn from their sins, come to Jesus, and find forgiveness. That's a powerful message, isn't it? It's an amazing message, a beautiful message. It is the message that Jesus has called us to give to a hurting world. And I encourage you to study that message out. Help it to be a part of your very core and your very being, because you will be a better messenger if you do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this message this morning, a message that reminds us that it's all about Jesus, that everything we preach and everything we communicate in the name of Christ should be about Christ, should be about repentance and forgiveness. Help us to be better stewards of that message so that we can truly go into all the world with it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.